Well, the Momentum Advisors is back, but with a twist, and I've got to start by addressing the elephant in the room. We've been gone for almost 2 months, and I know you guys missed us, and I know this for a fact because you tweeted us, you sent us DMs, and you even showed up at my house, some of y'all. And the fact of the matter is that I am sad to announce that Tiffany Hawkins has unfortunately decided to resign from Momentum Advisors. And I thought about just stopping the podcast altogether. Can't lie. We started this podcast in 2020. Prior to that, going back to 2017, the two of us were on SiriusXM together. We started out on the Karen Hunter Show. We then ended up with our own show on Sunday mornings as a part of the Sunday lineup on Urban View. She's my partner in podcasting. This is not easy. But what I realized is that this podcast is bigger than me. Like, the reason we did this to begin with, it wasn't to glorify ourselves. We did this to help people. And so it's bigger than me, it's bigger than Tiffany, and we're going to keep it going because we know that people need the information that we're feeding them through this platform. People need to know about money, they need to know about wealth building, and they certainly need to know about entrepreneurship. And this is everybody, but especially people that look like me and you. This is a podcast that's in plain English. We're talking like we're talking at the bar or at the kitchen table, and folks are learning, and that's what we're all about. I wish Tiffany the best moving forward. I love her. We still have several businesses together, and I've got to respect her decision. She has a lot of great things happening in her life. She's engaged. She moved to DC. She's getting married in a couple months. But one thing about Momentum Advisors as a firm, we've got a team of dope professionals at the firm. It's not just me and Tiffany. There are many of us. And so we can never replace Tiffany, but we also have other voices to add to the conversation. So we're going to keep the podcast going, but we're going to do it with a little bit of a twist. We're going to have some guest hosts who come on. And today I'm going to introduce you to one of my favorite people on earth, Andrea Gray. Andrea and I grew up in New Jersey together by way of New Orleans. That's where she was born and raised before moving to New Jersey in high school. I won't tell you which one of us is older, but by the end of the show, you might figure that out. Andrea is a graduate of Hampton University. She's a mother of two. And just like me, she's been on Wall Street for her entire career. She's a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. And more importantly, she is a dope financial advisor and my friend. And so join me in welcoming Andrea Gray to the Momentum Advisors podcast. And don't forget, we still have our same dope theme song. Welcome, Andrea.
Well, hello.
Why don't you tell the people a little bit about yourself? I know I gave a little bit of your stats, but they need to know about you.
Sure. And I don't often know what to say when people say, tell me a little bit about yourself. So I'm going to do my best here. I joined this firm 3 years ago, just celebrated my third anniversary with the firm. Mm-hmm. I am Southern born and raised, but New Jersey updated. I don't know. I just came up with that. I don't even know what that means.
I think you spent more time in Jersey than you did in the South.
I officially have, but yeah. I still have a lot of family in Louisiana. And when I say home, I'm referring to New Orleans because I spent my formative years there.
Fine.
Even though it wasn't a long time.
We'll allow it.
Yep. So I'm just a regular girl. Like, I...
Really?
Yeah.
Are you?
I am.
So let me tell you about Andrea, because Andrea is being a little coy. Okay?
I'm not.
So Andrea and I met in high school, as I mentioned. She was a star athlete on our track team. She went on to run track in college, Division I track at Hampton University, which is no small feat.
We were Division II when I started, but, you know, yeah.
Well, she upgraded them to Division I. That's how good she was.
Yeah, I did that.
Mm-hmm. But Andrea started working in finance actually before me. Well, I won't even say before me because then that might indicate her age.
He's trying to tell you I'm older than him,
which is
true.
We'll just say a long time. And At one point, I ran into Andrea. We used to work at the same company. We worked at Merrill Lynch. And I ran into Andrea after I started Momentum, and she pulled me to the side and said, hey, I think I want to be a financial advisor.
I did.
The conversation didn't go well because...
It didn't.
I think if you want to be a financial advisor, you got to be a little bit crazy. And I didn't want to see my friend walk into a bad situation, so I tried to discourage her from doing it.
He did.
And lo and behold, she did it anyway.
I did. Because
she's hard-headed in a good way.
I am. All true. All truth. I think the thing that, I've never said this publicly, the thing that hurt the most when he said that, we've reconciled this conversation, by the way. But in the moment, what hurt was, we were at a birthday party. Our kids were invited to the same birthday
party. We're supposed to be celebrating.
And we were having, we had this conversation in front of a parent who is well known in the business world. You probably don't even remember.
I didn't. I thought it was just the two of us talking.
And so I was like, he shot me down in front of somebody else. And I was like,
cold-blooded.
Yes, yes. But what's really funny is that person's a really, really good friend of both our families. Okay. And we're not going to name drop. We're not going to do that. Okay. But anyway, what I learned later was that was an act of protection. I just heard in the moment, you not cut out for this.
Which ironically might have been the best motivator you had because you don't like people telling you what you can and cannot do. This I know.
100% truth.
Yeah.
100% truth. So we learned later that that was intended to be a protective act. We talked about it. We talk about it publicly now. Yeah. But
and here's
it was,
the funny thing. So Andrea went on to be a financial advisor and killed it. And only a few months later, now your boy comes back begging with his tail between his legs, like, hey, Andrea, maybe you consider working at Momentum. And she's like, nah, bro, I'm good.
Little tiny bit petty. Where I was like, so you're going to tell me that maybe I should go do this and do that and then think about it. And now you're trying to recruit me? I'm good. But in reality, I was comfortable in my company and with my benefits and all that stuff. So the startup adjacent situation didn't feel comfortable for me at that time. But we kept talking.
I put the full court press on Andrea for a few more months and eventually she said yes.
It was a couple years. But yes, I did say yes. And as of a couple of weeks ago, I'm celebrating 3 years with the firm. So good stuff.
And Andrea is one of the top advisors at our firm. She's a managing director. She is a leader and she's dope. And I didn't have to twist her arm too hard to get her to come on. And I'm just glad that she's here today. So I'm glad y'all get a chance to get exposed to her. I think she's incredible. And speaking of incredible, Andrea, did you watch the NCAA women's basketball tournament?
Oh, you mean the finals that were on at 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon instead of on prime time with like,
yeah, those.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw it.
Yeah. Did you see how good the competition was? Like, it was crazy good.
It was crazy good. Even the semifinal against, was it UConn and Iowa?
Mm-hmm.
That was an incredible game as well. I mean,
crazy.
The whole tournament was phenomenal, but that final four was something else.
So this entire week, there's been talk about Caitlin Clark. And it actually inspired today's show. Today's show was going to be on the topic of the sister tax.
I'm here for it.
I know Caitlin Clark's not exactly a sister, but go with me for a second.
For purposes of this conversation, she is.
Caitlin Clark went from making millions of dollars a year as a college athlete because of the NIL, the name, image, and likeness rules. She made a ton of money to then getting a WNBA contract where she was the number one draft pick in the country, and she's going to make less than $80,000 a year.
Shameful.
And in the same exact week, Grayson Allen, who scores about 10 points a game, meanwhile, Caitlin could drop 10 points in about a quarter or a half a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
He gets $70 million. And so it may be controversial, but I think that there's sexism as a big part of why Caitlin only gets $70K while Grayson gets $70 million.
Most definitely. It may not be the only reason, but it's definitely a factor.
So,
and on Grayson Allen, just let me throw that out there. He's not even a nice person. He plays dirty from what I remember at Duke. I'm just saying.
Facts. So we're talking about the pay gap, but we got to do it in the spirit of talking about women's basketball. Because I put up a post on Facebook this week that has been very polarizing. Half the people think I'm an idiot. Half the people think I'm a genius.
I'm here for the comments.
I'm just calling facts. The WNBA is literally controlled by the NBA. The NBA does not want women's basketball to compete against its breadwinner. I'm not saying that the owners don't want it to be successful, but they want it to be successful as long as it doesn't impact the money they're making from the men.
I can see that.
Nearly half the teams are owned by NBA teams. The season was specifically designed as a supplement to the NBA season. So the WNBA starts a couple of weeks after the NBA ends. And by the way, when the NBA ends, people are tired of watching basketball. Like, we're good. The WNBA runs in the summertime when nobody wants to be in the house watching TV or in a hot stadium.
Just like the finals.
They want to be
3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon.
Just facts. Saying. That's sexist that they would put it on at that time. It was designed to just fill stadiums during the low point in the season. It wasn't designed to make a ton of money. And people don't see that. Not only is the summer a bad time for sports, there is clear evidence that there's demand for women's basketball. Over 24 million people watched the women's final compared to only 14 million who watched the men's final.
Which was on Monday night during primetime. I fell asleep.
Listen, so you mean to tell me that those 24 million people who loved watching that women's final, the moment that Caitlin puts on a WNBA jersey, now they've completely lost interest in basketball? Like, make that make sense for me, Andrea.
Yeah, I'm not sure that that's what's going to happen. I mean, I think I've heard that the season tickets for Indiana Fever are hundreds, if not thousands, of percentage points higher than it was last year. But
of course,
time will tell, right?
That's a fact. So my thesis is that the WNBA was designed to fail. It wasn't designed to make money. There's only 12 teams compared to 30 teams for the men. There's only 40 games compared to 82 games for the women. How can they ever make as much money in that setting? And so in order for things to change, we need systemic differences. We need the NBA and the WNBA to completely decouple. No shared ownership. There needs to be complete separate ownership of WNBA teams. We need the women to have the opportunity to play in the same exact months as the men. And then we'll have a head-to-head competition. We'll see who comes out on top. And then finally, a lot of cities have supplemented and financially supported the NBA for years, giving them sweetheart deals on stadiums, giving them tax incentives and tax breaks. The NBA almost folded many times in the 70s and 80s. If the government were to put money and effort into the WNBA the way they did to the NBA, if the WNBA had the budget to buy ads and everything else and promote itself the way the NBA has, I have no doubt that that pay gap's going to close.
So I hear you on that. And I think, as with any other subject or issue in society, research and history has shown that when you invest in women with the same rigor and prioritization as you invest in men, everybody wins.
That's a fact.
I'm not so sure that I trust the government to do that. We have bigger issues when it comes to a lack of parity, whether it's healthcare, reproductive rights, and all that, which this is not the show for that. But if the government won't even do that, I'm not so sure they're going to prioritize that for athletics. But
here's the issue, because I've had a lot of vitriol over this. People are like, there's no way people want to watch the WNBA.
I'm
like,
I saw the post. The comments are everything.
By the way, do you engage with the trolls or do you just let them live?
I don't have time. I let them live. But it's entertaining for sure. But I do low-key judge people based on their comments.
Listen,
sometimes.
When I've got time, I got time. Yeah. I'm going to just leave it at that.
I'll never have time.
So here's the issue. Like, if I only sold vanilla ice cream, and then one day I decide I want to start selling chocolate ice cream, but I stock my little ice cream cart with 10 cases of vanilla and only 3 cases of chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the month, I look at my sales report and I see that I sold 8 cases of vanilla and only 3 cases of chocolate. I would decide that, oh, people don't like chocolate. They like vanilla. Look, the numbers are right here. It's right in front of your face.
Yeah.
In reality, I didn't have enough chocolate. Like, there's no way for me to know about the demand for actual chocolate ice cream unless I have enough of the product. And so what I'm saying that people don't realize is that there is sexism sitting on top of the WNBA. You don't even realize it. It's structural. It's a part of your life. It's how you think. And this same exact pay gap that's happening in the WNBA is happening in corporate America.
For real.
And we got to talk about that today.
Let's talk about it.
So we're going to talk about the sister gap. We're going to describe this gap. We're going to talk about how to close it. And we're going to have some fun.
Let's do it.
I'm Alan Boomer.
I'm Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors. When we come back, we'll be talking about this sister gap.
All right, we're going to start around the pay gap. So in 2022, American women typically earned 82 cents for every dollar earned by men.
That's almost 20% lower.
Almost, yep.
And a lot of times it's for the same exact work.
Or sometimes for better work.
Ooh. But they don't want to hear that.
They don't want to hear that.
Lord. And the WNBA, I mean, it's probably like, what, 3 cents on the dollar?
If that.
Yeah, that's crazy. So other stats.
It gets worse as we get older. Mm-hmm. Now, I just celebrated a milestone birthday.
Okay, are we talking about that?
So I'm sensitive. don't have to talk specifically about it.
Do you care to say
it.
Which milestone? Okay.
It's not important.
Okay.
It's not important for at this point in the conversation. But it does get worse as we get older.
Mm-hmm.
Women generally start their careers closer to wage parity than men, mm-hmm. but we lose ground as we age and progress through our work lives, a pattern that's been in place for a while. I know for a fact from working with clients and just reaching this certain age that women are 2 to 3 times more likely to be caregivers. Mm-hmm. That means children. That sometimes means parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so our compensation suffers as a result of stepping away from the workplace for a short or even sometimes an extended period of time.
That's a fact. And during those periods of time, the wealth gap just gets wider.
Yep.
And then it gets worse based on race.
Word. So I'm going to start with Black women. 66 cents on the dollar compared to men for Black women. Other ethnic groups, Asian, 99%, white women, 74%, Native Hawaiian women, 61%, 55% for Native American, and 52% for Latina women. So the gap is worse for Black women compared to some of the other ethnic groups.
Yeah.
And we know, sisters, we talk about it all the time, Black girl magic. We can do it all.
Yeah.
Superwoman, superheroes, but it's killing us sometimes physically, but it's also killing us in the wealth game, too.
Yeah.
We're just further behind.
Tell me a story about being underpaid. I know you have one. It doesn't have to be firsthand. I know you know of one.
I can tell you. The personal ones always are easier to talk about. So I was at a large firm earlier in my career, and I got a significant increase when I joined the company, but we were actually audited, and I was pulled into someone's office and told that my base salary was going to increase significantly, but my bonus incentive compensation would probably dwindle. What I learned about that was, first of all, the company was paying too much in incentive compensation and not paying enough in base salary.
Okay.
Which I knew from a performance standpoint, a lot of that bonus compensation was going to people that did not look like me. It was going to men. It was going to white women. There was a surge of white women being promoted. And I was kind of left behind.
Yeah.
And in that time, I had also had my second child. And I had a male manager say to me, "Well, I think while you were away, everybody else was kind of catching up and getting better. So now," and I'm like, "Wait, so I was out taking care of my family, and now all of a sudden I'm out. Everybody else is getting better." Okay.
Yeah.
But so while my base salary increased, they only did that because they had to.
Yeah.
Because there was a review that said you're paying too much of your total comp is going to incentive comp.
Yeah.
And I know I wasn't getting that.
Mm.
And then on top of it, it just let me know how much I was underpaid compared to my peer group.
So you're talking about the mommy tax a little bit.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah. And the thing about it, like, we have laws that say if a woman takes maternity leave, she should be able to come back into her field and make the same that she should have been making if she had not left.
And so here's the loophole where they got around that. My salary was the same. I just was not promoted. And I was not looked upon as someone who was promotable. And I had another woman. So women, we are guilty in this space too. We have our own unconscious biases. Mm. So there was another woman manager who happened to be Caucasian.
Okay.
And she made a comment somewhere along the lines of, I seem to be struggling, juggling, having a second child.
Uh-huh.
And she happened to know that at the time my husband was pursuing his doctorate. Now, this woman was less educated than me. She was at a higher level than me. And she was a stay-at-home mom for the early part of her career.
Yeah.
What I think I really heard was that ain't no way you can still be this dope and juggle all these things when I couldn't handle it. So I stayed home.
Yeah.
And so how can you be this good when you have all these things going on?
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. So I chose to stay home. That's what I really thought was going on.
Yeah. I actually heard Aretha Franklin singing Ain't No Way just now. And you know, I'd like to hear it.
Ain't no way.
If you'd like to hear it, here it go.
Nah, we're not doing that. It's too early. They're just getting to know me.
But there are stats that show that 43% of women workers will have at least 1 year with no earnings. And again, during those periods, their spouses tend to start making a lot more money than them. And that gap starts to really pick up and it creates this fatherhood premium and this mommy tax. And as a mother of two, I'm sure you experienced that a little bit, unfortunately.
A little bit. So my husband has his own career and it's very, he's an education administrator and it's very much based on a step.
Mm-hmm.
And so we knew that at some point, I'm a couple years older, but we knew that at some point our salaries would be on par.
Yeah.
I made a conscious decision to kind of pivot in my career, so I got paid differently.
Yeah.
But we planned for that. But the dynamics are really interesting when that happens. Because I do hear men, managers, and employees advocate for more money because they have to take care of their families.
Mm.
And there's nothing wrong with advocating for what you need, but I'm like, are we really going to pay somebody more because they made a decision to become a parent?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't seem fair to me.
Yeah. Or, like, it's like it's just strange. Like, a dude be able to say, well, I got to take care of my family. But, like, a woman doesn't have to take care of her family? Like,
so,
in a lot of cases.
So, another dude would respond to that and be like, I hear what you mean. These kids are expensive.
Word. But, like, people don't realize in a lot of families, the woman is the main breadwinner.
Hello.
And if she can't take care of her family, then the family ain't being taken care of.
That part.
Listen. And this gap isn't limited to pay. Like, pay is kind of like the thing that gets the most attention. But if you've got a pay gap, guess what else you're going to have?
A wealth gap.
Absolutely. There's a gender wealth gap. And it's even larger because now you're talking about if I'm making less money, that means I'm contributing less to my 401k. That means I'm getting less 401k match. That means I'm getting less compounding. There's it's just a knock-on wealth effect from getting paid less. And as a result, the wealth of women is only 28% of all household wealth. And for men, it's the rest of it.
Absolutely. And it just, as you were saying before, it just piles on. And if I go back to this topic of caregiving for a second, and this is real for me right now, right? We talk about this sandwich generation where you may have a caregiver who is taking care of children, but also taking care of parents, living a little bit of that right now. It's not extreme, but it still is a factor. The reality is, for women, there's so many other things that cost more for us. The cost of our healthcare because of our ability to reproduce costs more.
Mm-hmm.
So if we make less, we tend to live longer. Mm-hmm. The life expectancy for women is about 3.5 years longer than the average man. It may be even different in the Black community.
Wait, so you mean to tell me y'all want to be with alone without us that bad? Y'all live extra years?
We just do. We just do. So we make less.
Uh-huh.
We live longer.
Uh-huh.
We care for other people.
Uh-huh.
I would dare say we need more.
Y'all disability insurance costs more too.
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
It absolutely does because the actuaries who make these decisions in the insurance industry, and we're licensed insurance professionals here at Momentum Advisors, the actuaries have shown that it costs more to cover the expenses, the healthcare expenses for a woman than it does a man. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we pay for that.
Yeah.
So we make less, we take care of more people, we live longer, and we just have higher expenses.
Yeah.
But so can you see how the compounding in a negative way happens?
It ain't right. And then there's other arbitrary areas where y'all get overcharged for no reason. And I'll tell you selfishly, I know this for a fact. I am an owner, me and Tiffany, and we own dry cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
And in a dry cleaner, every garment a woman brings in goes through the same process as the garment that a man goes through.
Costs more.
But it costs more for women.
Yep.
For no reason.
For no reason.
Other than we could just do it that way.
That's why I sometimes use the home dry cleaning system. Because okay. Sometimes I don't dry need a whole cleaning. I just need a little refresh. Like, there's no stains. Like, do I really need to?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
You know what's so funny? So this is another Facebook post this week. How many times do you wear your jeans before you wash them?
It's about where I go when I have them on.
Okay. All right.
Probably three on average.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Probably three. But if I'm at an event and people are partaking in different things okay. where the aroma might.
If they're smoking weed. Hold on. What kind of events? Wait a minute. I thought you were a wholesome mom of
listen,
two.
It's legal. Sometimes you just walk into an elevator and it's clear what has been going on. And I have a sensitive nose. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
depends
jeans.
On where I am.
I feel like jeans you could rock a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could rock those a couple times. Either way, this gap is crazy. Like, and then you start throwing in race. I'm going to give you some stats on the wealth gap of Black women. So families that are headed by Black women own 5 cents for every dollar of a median family on the white side headed by a white man. And for Hispanic women, it's 10 cents. So meaning like if a white family's worth $1 million, the Black woman-led family is worth $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it starts with the pay. It then gets tacked on with those expenses. It then has a big impact on wealth.
Truth.
And here's the crazy, all right, I'm sorry. I know I'm, like, getting on this thing. I got a daughter, yo, but at the same time, I just want a fair life for people.
Fair life for people.
So now we start talking about education. Women are more educated than men, which also means they've got more student loan debt.
More expenses again.
So you got more education, taking on more debt, all to make less money. And by the way, making less money also gives you less Social Security benefits. Like on Social Security side, women on average make 70 cents of what every dollar that a man makes from Social Security.
Sounds like more piling on to me.
Yeah. So, we got to talk about how to close this gap. Because I'm getting mad. I'm ready to fight somebody.
We do have to talk about it. And we need everybody to listen. Because like you said before, it's not just a woman problem. We have daughters. We have wives. We have sisters.
Yeah.
Aunties.
Ain't that the Martin Luther King line? Like, an injustice anywhere
is an injustice everywhere.
That's exactly right. It's a threat to all of us. And so it's got to be more than just my problem, more than just Andrea's problem. And so we'll talk about some things that you can do yourself as a woman, but we're also going to talk about some other stuff that allies have to do.
Absolutely.
Because it's not just a single solution. And it ain't the women's fault. Like, y'all didn't just decide y'all wanted a daggone gap in how much money y'all made. Like,
not at all.
Yeah. We didn't land on Plymouth Rock.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Plymouth Rock
Here
landed
you go.
On us. Okay. I use women's deodorant, by the way.
I
will admit that.
Information
I'll admit that.
We didn't need to know, but thank you for sharing.
Strong enough for a man, but pH balanced.
But
for
like,
a woman.
Why?
It smells better.
Okay.
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 I use Powder Fresh. The thing is, like,
secret?
Yes.
Okay.
Men's deodorant is like musty.
It does have a like, harsh.
We already got must. Like, we don't need extra must.
It's not musty. It is different, though. It's harsher than it needs to be. I get it. But
so,
yeah, thank you for sharing.
So if we're going to use women's deodorant, we want y'all to get paid properly. That's the theme of today. The sister tax.
That's the solution. Use women's deodorant.
All right. So let's go through it. Why don't you go first? I'll give my second. We have a whole bunch of these, by the way.
We do. And I feel more strongly about some of these than others, but I'm going to stick to the, I'm not going to call it a script. We don't work off of scripts here, but I'm going to stick to the plan. How's
okay,
that?
All there right. we go. There we go.
We need laws focused on ensuring equal pay for women. We just do.
Mm-hmm. And that's federal, that's state, that's cities. Like, sometimes the government has to step in to make sure that people do things that they're supposed to do. It's a shame that it comes to that.
Absolutely. And it's not just the government, and maybe we'll get to this later, or we're already planning to get to this later, but it's also the employers, right? But the employers will potentially be incentivized by the government.
That's a fact. Like New York State, for example, made a rule recently about transparency with regards to asking people how much money they made in the past. Because here's the issue with asking somebody how much money they made in the past. Mm. If you already are underpaid for the same work that a man's doing, and then I ask you how much did you make, and then I make my decision of how much I'm going to pay you based on how much you used to make, then I'm just keeping that problem going.
You're just keeping it going,
so more states need laws like that, that say it is unfair for people to have to disclose how much money they used to make. And so New York is a leader in that space. New Jersey, as far as I know, doesn't ask that question. Doesn't have that law. So more states need to do things like that. I agree with you.
You know, that just makes me think of, it's a short story, I promise.
That's okay.
It might not make the episode, but it's okay. When I interviewed at one of my previous employers, the manager, the hiring manager, asked me if I had children. You're not supposed to be able to do that.
Nope.
He also asked me, did I want any more?
Wait, by him? Like, what are we talking about here?
And I thought to myself, what a strange question to ask.
Yeah.
And then I thought to myself, I don't think you can ask that.
Yeah.
That should have been a red flag, right? That it shouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
And two, I think it's against the law to ask that question.
Yeah.
But maybe he was testing me to see. I knew.
You got
to
make it uncomfortable for him. So would you like to have kids with me, sir? Is that what you're asking about? Like,
yeah, I wasn't as confident back then as I am now.
Would you ask that now?
If he asked the question now, I would probably just say, you can't ask me that.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, but you are out of line for asking me that.
Yeah.
It's prohibited.
Word. All right. You're pulled over by the police. They want to search your vehicle. You letting them, or you know, you gonna say, "I know my rights"? What type of pullover person are you?
So I don't get pulled over. I haven't gotten pulled over in, it might be 30 years.
So women get pulled over significantly less than men.
Perhaps so, but women might also speed less than men.
Might be true.
Small sample size. Me and Dr. Gray.
I don't mess with the police. I'm sorry. Like, I get scared of the police. So.
I don't either, but I would probably say nicely but firmly, may I ask what you pull me over for, or may I ask what reason you have to search the vehicle?
So you have some white women privilege inside of you, it sounds like.
I would just ask nicely.
Yeah.
And where it goes from there depends on what I get back.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, look, it's worked for you, and not being pulled over in 30 years is also telling people a little bit of how old you are. You kind of did that yourself, I'm just saying, because you get your license at 18 pretty much, so 17. So just
it
saying.
Was okay? Driving home from Virginia after graduation.
Graduation from what?
After graduation. Driving home. Anyway, it was
funny.
A speed trap.
So we're having fun.
Georges County, Maryland.
Yeah, big shout to the Zips Dry Cleaners there, by the way, and conveniently located in Bowie, Maryland.
Go ahead and get that plug in.
Hey, so we're having fun, but we're talking about this pay gap. We're calling it the sister gap, the mommy gap, and we need to figure out how to close it. So we're going to go to break, and we'll be right back to keep talking about it. I'm Alan Boomer.
I'm Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
All right, we are back. We're talking about this sister gap. We need to figure out how to close it, because it is a shame that our daughters are heading into a world where they're going to make 82 cents for every dollar that a man makes.
How do you feel about that, though? Like, you have 2 sons and a daughter. Is that something that you think about on a regular basis? Or maybe once she gets a little older, it may not be something you think about.
I think about a lot more having a daughter than I ever would have thought about having just sons. Mm-hmm. I'll keep that 100%. I've had people say to me, would you want your daughter to go through that?
Right.
Like, even, like, using, like, the B word. Like, would you want your daughter to be called that? Like, it used to be, like, you know, would you want your mom to be that? You're like, anybody gonna call my mom that?
Right.
But they're like, would you want your daughter? And they're like, oh.
It's different.
Like dads and daughters, my guy. Like, mm-hmm. like we care about our daughters. Like, if we don't care about anybody, we love our daughters.
Yeah.
Right? And so I'm definitely a lot more sensitive to women's issues. But before having a daughter, it was just having a woman partner. Like, having Tiffany as my partner opened my eyes to a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like, there were a lot of instances where I realized that I needed to be an advocate for her in spaces where she was made to feel uncomfortable. You know how many times me and Tiffany went to an event? Literally, I heard a man say to Tiffany one day, oh, it must be great being Alan's assistant. You get to see all the cool stuff that he gets to do.
Happens every time.
And what's crazy, Tiffany ain't even say anything. She's like, oh, yeah. Like, she just, like, didn't dignify it with a response. But I'm sitting there like,
she's stronger than me.
Yeah. What would you have said?
I'm not his assistant.
Yeah.
I think we presented together somewhere and it was a friendly environment, but you were asking me to, we were trying to capture names and emails.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I will do it because it's for the firm. It's for the team. But I'm not your assistant.
Oh, no.
And it wasn't really against you.
Yeah.
It was for the optics in the room, so that room full of professional women didn't have a misunderstanding.
I feel that.
About the fact that in that setting, we are peers.
Yeah. Wow.
And I did it for that reason, not because I had a problem capturing, you know, sending out the sign-up sheet.
Yeah, I got
that,
you.
Optically, that's what that looked like.
Yeah.
I've been in situations where I'm out with colleagues. We took, I worked at this boutique trust and estate planning firm, and we took it was administrative professionals day.
Yeah.
So we took our admin out for lunch, and it was happy administrative professionals day. The assumption was that I was the administrative assistant. And we're not even going to talk about the refresh of the drinks that happened for everybody else except mine.
Wow.
So I was like, first of all, you made an assumption that I'm the admin. And then second of all, it's supposed to be my day as the admin. You're not even going to top off my drink? I'm just saying. I'm like, a foodie, so I remember these things.
Like, when does my drink get topped off?
I was just like, oh, maybe I'm just blending in right. with the brown leather in the background.
I'm just curious now. Also, I literally saw Tiffany get sexually harassed on a regular basis.
Yikes.
At all-male things with financial advisors. That they come up to her acting inappropriate. Like, as a woman in the professional workforce, does that happen as well?
I have not had that experience. It's been less about sexual harassment. It's been more assumptions about my role, perhaps assumptions about how I was afforded that opportunity as opposed to just earning it.
Yeah.
Nothing physical. And I take extra care try to not be in those situations. Sometimes you can't avoid it.
Yeah.
But I also come from a perspective where my husband was a middle school counselor and coaching a girls' soccer team.
Yeah.
And so we always often had these conversations about how to conduct ourselves. And so some of these middle school girls were enamored with him just because he was young and, you know, he was in a position of power. And so we often had conversations in our household about how to navigate optics when you're in certain settings. So I was fortunate to have had that experience, but...
Yeah. Now, isn't that a tax as well? The fact that women have to often navigate sexual innuendo,
yep,
sexual hostility, sexual harassment, and in a field where they're also making less money,
yep,
putting less money away into their 401k.
And there's not a lot of us in this industry, so let's just start there.
Word.
Besides the pay gap and the wealth gap, there's just not a lot of us in this industry.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure you know from your experience growing up in that Wall Street setting, there's some wild boys out there.
Word.
Yeah.
Word. Yeah, I remember being on the floor at Goldman and, you know, we would be doing interviews and like kids are coming in from college. These are kids. They're 21, 22 years old. And a beautiful woman will walk on the floor and guys are just sexualizing her. Like, in the workplace, like saying stuff out loud.
Yep.
Little instant messages. That's messed up. Like, a dude just gets to go to work. Like, a dude ain't worried about somebody trying to sleep with him all the time.
You don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
You don't have to think about it. Let's not add the black woman tax, right? We're getting scrutinized for our hairstyle.
Lord.
The fact that we changed it up is just... so much to deal with.
Okay,
it's
so
just unnecessary.
Where do you stand on may I touch your hair?
Oh, hell no. Sorry to all the pastors and ministers in my life. That's probably about the extent of what you're going to hear out of me publicly. But,
yeah.
No, yeah. Absolutely not.
Is that even a controversial issue or is that are black women solidified
so
on,
like,
that issue?
I've never had it happen to me.
Really?
But the conversation about my hair, that's... I don't have time for that. I'm out here trying to get it. I'm trying to make things happen.
Yeah.
I don't have time to talk to you about my hair.
Yeah. Okay.
It's annoying. And I'm sensitive about my hair.
Solange wrote a song about it. Don't touch my hair.
Don't touch my hair. Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. So we were talking before the break about ways to close the wealth gap. We talked about changing laws. Clearly, none of us could just change the laws. I mean, really, it starts with voting. It starts with really asking the candidates that you're supporting, what is your agenda for women? And men need to ask that, too. Just like people are like, women need to watch the WNBA. Like, nah, men need to watch it, too. Like, everybody needs to be having these conversations. So we got to support people that are espousing our views. We got to hold them to task to having a women's agenda. And we got to know what that agenda needs to entail. And I think this issue of transparency about pay and ranges, like, that's something that needs to be a part of our agenda.
You know, you can learn so much about one of the things. So I already talked about you for the things that you said to me that I was like,
yeah.
So I'm going to give you your props.
Come on. This is what I've been waiting for.
One compliment given me is you've always complimented me on my questions. You've always said, you ask really good questions.
Yeah.
You can learn a lot about a person just by asking a question.
Uh-huh.
There's a time to be forceful and demanding.
Uh-huh.
But when it comes to these... politicians and public servants, just ask them the question, what is on your agenda in terms of addressing the wealth gap for women?
Yeah.
Or the healthcare issues for women, whatever it is. If you just ask the question,
leave it
make
out
them
there.
Uncomfortable.
Word.
Yeah. It doesn't take anything.
Word.
You lose nothing, but you could gain a whole lot.
I'm just curious. What do you think about the plight of black women? The fact that we only make 55 cents for every, like, you don't got to.
Right. There's a time and a place
right.
for that.
On that note, have you ever been accused of being an angry black woman?
Yes.
Mm.
But it was. It
and
was,
you are so not angry, by the way. Like, I haven't seen it. Maybe.
Yeah.
Your son has seen
I've learned how to. Oh, for sure. My 16-year-old daughter, she's the one that's seen it the most.
Okay.
Love you, Arden. She's definitely seen it. It came across in a performance evaluation conversation.
Really?
And it was framed this way. Has anyone ever told you that you're, what was the word? Not uptight. What was the word? I'm going to come back to it. I cannot remember it right now. It's going to come back to me. Oh, high strung.
Mm.
To me, that was cold for angry black women.
Really?
And this was an environment where there was a lot of, there was an acquisition. I worked for a firm that got acquired.
Yeah.
Y'all gonna figure this out. I worked for a firm that got acquired. And in all the shuffling, I was on like reporting to the sixth or seventh person in as many months. And I just had it.
Yeah.
And so I would see things like, I was basically a project manager at that time where we'd used up like 75% of the time in the budget, but only like 25% of the work was done.
Yeah.
So I'd be telling the team, hey, we're running out of time. We need to do X, Y, and Z. And the person I reported to asked me when she was doing my performance review if anyone had ever told me that I was high strung. Mm. That's how she asked it. I heard angry black woman.
Yeah.
And I looked her in the eyes and I said, never.
Yeah.
Mm. What do you say
then? That's also kind of a weak way to even bring this up. Has anyone ever told you versus, I think you are, you know what I mean? Like, she didn't have the guts to say it that way.
Yeah, she couldn't come right out and give me whatever made up evaluation that she wanted, whatever story she wanted to tell. Yeah. She couldn't come out and say it because she knew it wasn't true.
All right, well, fine. On air, I'm going to give you your evaluation of how I see you.
Mm,
okay.
Be careful.
Andrea's churchy.
People are listening.
Andrea's churchy. I like that about you because I'm churchy. Like, I like churchy people around me.
Mm.
Have you been accused of being churchy?
So it depends on what you mean by churchy.
Okay, here's my meaning of
churchy. And I might feel differently about that based on how you tell me you see
churchy. Churchy is like culturally understanding what it is to be in the black church. When somebody says, God is good, you know what to say after that.
It's all the time.
That's all I'm saying. All
right.
It's churchy.
I mean,
like, I'm saying, like, there's times I'm in the office.
I grew up in the church, so
there's times I'm in the office, I'm playing Kirk Franklin, and you know the songs. That's churchy. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
But if you're
has
playing...
Has anyone ever told you you're churchy?
No. Okay. Never.
Okay. I think it's a compliment, personally.
Okay. I'm not sure.
Okay.
How I feel about that.
Okay. I'll take it.
Yeah, that's teenage stuff.
If I was playing Back That Thing Up, I think you've heard that song too, because you did go to an HBCU.
I know some lyrics to some hip-hop songs that you would be shocked to know that I know bar for bar.
Really?
Yeah, to the point where my husband is
like, give me one song. You don't have to rap it.
I can't do it.
Okay, another
can't
time.
Do it.
Another
we got
time.
A lot of listeners.
We gotta close this wealth
we
gap.
We do, we do.
And this income gap for women. So let's talk about what employers need to do first. And a lot of our listeners work in HR, because I will also say women get pigeonholed and pushed into certain fields.
For sure.
Head of diversity.
HR,
recruitment. Like, it's just like for me, like as a black person, any panel discussion I'm asked to go on is about diversity. Like, I know about more stuff than just diversity.
For sure.
But there's a lot of our listeners who work in HR.
Yep.
So what are some things that employers should be doing?
Employers can conduct a pay audit and figure out where their gaps are that they can control, right? We talk about this thing when it comes to financial planning about there's things that you can control and things that you can't.
Yeah.
You can control, you can identify what you're paying people and just do a quick pay audit and see what the numbers tell you. The numbers don't lie.
They really don't. Yeah. Have you been a part of this sort of audit before? Have you seen this type of work before?
I did. It's one of the stories that I told earlier.
Okay.
But I don't know that that was about gender.
Yeah.
I think it was just across the board. And they found some things as a result of it.
Yeah.
Gender gap, pay gap could have been one of the things, but I'm not sure. I wasn't privy to the details.
Yeah. I think other things is you've got to look at your hiring and your promotions practices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in football, there's what's called the Rooney Rule. Before any coach gets hired, they have to at least see a black person for that job before
Absolutely.
They hire somebody. Like, companies need a Rooney Rule.
They do. It lets people face what they don't want to acknowledge.
Yeah.
In a sense that the excuse I hear often when it comes to hiring what we've termed diverse employees, whether it's women, black folks, people of color, indigenous, BIPOC, we can come up with all the labels and categories. It's, I just haven't found any.
Yeah.
And I've had a senior manager that I worked with, not for, that talked about HBCUs, but just kept saying, we just haven't seemed to find any qualified black candidates.
Yeah.
And my comeback question was, well, where are you looking?
Yeah.
Because I went to school with a ton of them.
Word.
So if you're going to a PWI to look for new hires, you're probably not going to find as many.
That's
if you go to where the folks are, you will find them.
That's a fact.
We're here.
A lot of times they call them HBCs, HSBCs.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Did you go to one of those HSBCs?
I'm like, that's a bank. That's not, yeah, they don't even know what to call them.
And you know they're not calling us black. They're afraid to call us black. They call us African American, which we don't even call ourselves African American most of the time.
That's probably a show unto itself, or at least a segment on the show.
Yeah. So pay audits, make sure you've got women being interviewed. One thing I will tell you as an employer that I struggle with, I want more women at our company. And
we need more women at our company.
Facts.
We know the statistics show that companies that have women leaders, they do better. It's good for business. Diversity is good for business.
Absolutely.
And we're talking about gender and pay and wealth in this episode, but diversity sometimes needs to be exclusively focused on race and gender. Mm-hmm. But diversity is a diversity of experiences and perspectives. I am one woman, I am married, I am heterosexual, but we need the perspective of the single woman.
Yeah.
We need the perspective of the woman that may not have children. We need the perspective of the woman that has adopted children. We need the perspective of the woman that chooses not to be married, yeah, or chooses not to have, whatever it is, we need all of that experience because we are serving clients that fall into all of those categories. And yeah, so we can do better when we reflect the people that we serve.
Or even better than that, you can't say you've got the best team if you don't have women on it. Like,
for sure.
Because men don't have a lock on good ideas.
Right.
Just like white people don't have a lock on good ideas.
For sure.
And so diversity from a base perspective is going to help you in that way.
It's good for business.
But here's the challenge I've had as an employer is, it takes work to find the woman for that role. And sometimes we're lazy about it. Like sometimes we keep hiring the same person that keeps finding us, right? Like most, yeah, of the folks that we've hired are folks that have found us.
Mm-hmm.
But like sometimes you gotta work a little bit to find the candidate. And
absolutely,
sometimes people ain't willing to do the work.
Right. So, and I'm glad you said it, because when you first said, we can't find them, I was like,
oh, I didn't say, bruh, we can't find them. I said we want more women.
Right.
You're just,
right,
used to hearing after that,
but
oh, we can't find
them. You caught, you said it though. You said, you know, we're just a little lazy. It's the same conversation I had with the senior executive that I worked with in the past that said, we're trying, but we can't find them. It's like, well, you're not gonna find them at your country club.
Word.
You're not going to find them at your all the places where you go work and play.
Yeah.
So you got to go to where the people are.
Yeah. So an all women's college. I'm saying that's the.
Perhaps.
Yeah. I mean, listen, there's Spelman out there.
That for sure. And there's some quality candidates and future advisors coming out of Spelman, I'm sure.
That's a fact. That's, yep, a fact. So finally, as an employer, I think you also have to just make it acceptable and maybe even invite women to negotiate. Like a lot of times when you make an offer, here's my experience as an employer, and I've hired hundreds of people in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And this might sound sexist, but just stick with me for a second. This is not,
I'm gonna stick with you for a second.
Yeah. If I step on that third rail,
I'll give you a few seconds.
Here's what I often find. A woman will accept the first offer sometimes. A woman will not ask for something that she knows that she wants,
mm-hmm,
and then later will just quit instead of ever having the conversation, mm-hmm, about, hey, I think I should have asked, yep, for more money, or maybe I needed, you know, Fridays from home. Like, I wish that women instinctively would negotiate the way men do.
Yep. And instinctively we don't. And I had a male colleague call me out on it. And it was one of those moments where I'm like, what'd you say?
Mm. I
got stories for days, and yeah, we may not have time for all of them. But
good.
It was a time in my career where I was doing well, but I decided I wanted to pivot.
Mm-hmm.
I was so unhappy with what I was doing, but I was paid well. I had, yeah, a steady paycheck, ooh, fancy title.
Come through title.
But I was not happy.
Yeah.
And I realize now it's because I wasn't fulfilled, and I underestimated how important it was for me to feel fulfilled in the work I was doing.
Yeah.
So I had I set up a meeting with this gentleman, and we were supposed to be talking about strategic planning for like the black employee group, yeah, or something. And we didn't talk about that at all. He was actually letting me know that he was leaving.
Mm.
And I guess he noticed that my energy was different than what he was used to seeing. And when it was all said and done, he said, well, what is it that you want? Like, what do you want to do since you're so frustrated? I'm like, I'm not really sure. He said, wait a minute. You have your investments licenses. Mm-hmm. You're taking financial planning courses that you're paying for.
Wow.
Did you ever think about being a financial advisor? And I was like, not really.
You really
and
had
I, it? I did, but not in the way that it was structured at Merrill Lynch.
Okay.
So I had thought about it, but what I focused on was all the qualifications on paper that I didn't have.
Mm.
So, and I ran them down. I said, well, you know, I'm Black, I'm a woman, I've never worked in sales before, blah, 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 blah. And he says, stop. He said, that is the problem with women. Mm. And that's the what you say moment. And when it was all said and done, what I didn't know, he said two things to me. One was, I didn't know that he worked for a Black woman who was responsible for internal recruiting for the advisor training program in the firm. So that's divine, right?
Yep.
That's churchy Andrea saying,
uh-huh.
Okay, Lord, I hear you.
She accepts being churchy. Okay, we're making progress here.
The second thing he said to me, he's like, men don't do that. He said, stop looking at the job description and focusing on the so-called qualification that you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, the things that are most important, you have that and more. You don't even need that.
Yeah.
And so it was eye-opening to me that he recognized that women tend to, we count ourselves out
and
before we even
get
started.
And at the same time, men have the audacity to walk into situations they are woefully unqualified for.
For sure.
Without blinking.
Confidently underqualified.
I could fly this plane.
Or confidently incompetent. I've seen that before, too.
Let me see that thing.
I'm just saying.
It's just like a Volkswagen.
Yep.
No, it's not, bro.
For sure. For sure. It really, I have nothing against Steve Harvey, but the whole act like a lady, think like a man, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
For me.
Okay.
I can't speak for everybody.
Yeah.
I'm a former athlete, so I'm by nature competitive. Most people don't know that side of me, but
well, I do.
I'm competitive.
No, I do.
And but I'm also girly.
Yeah, you were a D1 track athlete. Like
I was.
That's not for the faint of heart. This I know.
It's not.
Yeah.
No, I was middle distance too, because I wasn't fast naturally.
Yeah.
But anyway.
That means you got endurance.
Yeah,
perseverance.
Yeah.
Strong.
The flashy, cool, cool track and field events.
All right. So we're running out of time, but I want to get through this. This is really important because there's some women that need to figure out what they can do in their lives to try to close this pay gap. So we've talked about negotiating. I think that's a really big one. But other things that we got to do is be more transparent with how much money you're making and be okay asking your friends how much money they're making. I know I might feel a little uncomfortable, but I'm saying like white folks and men, they're doing it.
I think the part that can help people get there, because that's not something I would naturally be comfortable talking about, but you got to identify the safe spaces where you can
have
that conversation.
Of course.
So industry resource groups, other affinity groups, those can be safe spaces where you can talk about it. But the negotiation part, I know we already talked about it, but sisters, you got to advocate for yourself.
Yeah.
You got to advocate for yourself because no one else is going to do it.
Nobody's coming to save you, sis.
Nope.
Unfortunately.
Real talk.
Yeah. I think also on that point of communication, okay, let's say you're not comfortable asking somebody how much they're making. Maybe you can ask, hey, how did you negotiate what you had in your last promotion?
Word.
How'd you negotiate that? I'm going to go talk to John. Like, what's John like? Like, what are his buttons? Like, how can I get him to do for me what he did for you? How about that?
Absolutely. And, you know, Black women especially, there's no shortage of networks that we all belong to. I am not a natural advocate for myself until I've been wronged. Mm. And once I've been wronged, then I negotiate real hard for myself.
Yeah.
But ask your sorors, ask your Jack and Jill sisters, ask your colleagues, ask the people in the affinity group that you belong to at work, the Black Professionals group or whatever they call it. There's resource groups everywhere. Ask people that you know and trust. Once you find the safe space, you got to find the safe space to be able to have the conversation.
That's a fact. This is
ask white people. Seriously.
Listen,
You said it earlier. We need allies everywhere.
Word.
Just ask people that you trust. There are people who will tell you.
Yeah.
And let's face it, sisters especially, All men have egos. Some women have egos too. But all men have egos. If you approach a man with a question like, I mean, you got to be aware of the situation and know who to ask, still in a safe space. But if you ask a man, say, I saw you build this successful business, or I saw how you negotiated. Can you tell me more about that? I promise you, he's probably going to tell you.
Yeah, because he's proud.
Because he's proud.
Girl,
so
how much time you got? Matter of fact, sit on my lap. And right. That's when it goes wrong.
Oh, wow.
That's when it goes wrong.
Yeah. And listen, single, married, regardless of your marital status, situationship is complicated. If that person is married, invite the wife too. Just advocate for yourself and create that situation where you can ask. But I promise you, if you ask a man, he'll tell you.
Yeah. We're going to go rapid fire on these last couple ones. Don't tell how much you made in your last job, especially if you were underpaid. Tell them what you expect to make.
For sure.
And don't give them a range that includes a number that you would not be satisfied with.
Absolutely.
Don't go in there saying, I'd be happy to make anywhere from 90 to 100,000 and then get mad when they offer you 90,000. Like you said, you'd be happy with it.
Right.
So give them a range that includes at the low end the number that you would really be okay with.
Right.
Don't include a number that's going to make you upset.
Because guess what? You might just get what you asked for.
Word. And that's also funny because it's like, oh, I should ask for more money.
Exactly. But you can't flinch when you hear it.
Word.
Yeah.
$1 billion.
I mean, you got to be reasonable.
All right. Job hop. Y'all know about that, especially the millennials and the Gen Zs. They know about job hopping. And I hate that. But it works.
Yeah. We sound like get off my lawn. You know that. Right?
I know. It's true. I mean, we were from the era where, you know what I mean? Like we stuck for jobs for a long time.
We stuck it out because our parents darn sure did.
Yeah. But nowadays folks are jumping and folks want between 5% and 20% with every jump.
I just said darn.
Yeah. Churchy. That's churchy. What'd I tell you?
My mind says something else. I wouldn't let it come out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Always ask for more. We talked about that. That's negotiating. Get comfortable practicing negotiating. Maybe practice it with some of your, as you mentioned, sorors or whoever you hang out with. You know what I'm saying? Your gym workout buddy. Practice it a little bit.
Oop to all the deltas.
Yeah.
I should have done that at the beginning, but.
Yeah. And then finally, don't blame yourself for the gender pay gap. Like there is structural sexism sitting on top of your head. There is literally a glass ceiling on top of you that you cannot see. I'm not saying that everything is because of that.
Right.
But understand that you are one person doing your best.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's not your fault. We can all look back and say, I wished I had known. If only I had, we're going to do that. We're human beings. We're always going to look back and think about what we could have done differently or better. But it is systemic. There are just things that we're always going to be playing catch up. And we may not see it happen in our lifetimes. But if you know you're contributing, then it might make you feel a little better.
And the final one, if you want to close that wealth gap, you've got to learn financial literacy for yourself.
For sure. There are people that I know, clients of mine, friends, that are getting paid differently. And because they're getting paid differently, they don't know how to negotiate. They don't understand the makeup of their compensation. And so they have to come learn about it. And so one of the reasons why I was excited to join this firm was because we provide an opportunity to educate people about how to make other financial decisions based on their situation and move them from wherever they are to the next step. But yeah. you gotta know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And it's up to us. Like nobody's coming to save you.
At the end of the day, you'll
be there retired with whatever you're able to pull together. And if you can't figure it out yourself. But we're here for you. That's why we got a podcast. And hopefully we can twist Andrea's arm again and she'll come back next week.
We will see. Always thought you should consider having guests on every now and then. May not work for the model. He's like,
Or maybe you could come back.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen.
Yeah, we're not making any decisions right now.
Listen, we've had a great time.
I told him him he wasn't ready.
Listen, I definitely am ready for it. I'm ready for it. I appreciate you today, Andrea.
It's been fun.
And hopefully this isn't the last you've heard of Andrea Gray.
Now, y'all be nice. I'm petty, but I'm sensitive. Be honest, though. Be honest.
Yeah, please send your feedback. Go on our Twitter page, at Momentum Advice. Our Instagram page, which we barely ever use, it's at Momentum Advisors.
I don't even know it.
And we also have a website, momentum-advisors.com/contact. Normally, we tell people to go on there and schedule a time to consult with us. But if you want to just go on there and say, hey, I like the show, more Andrea, less Alan, feel free to make those comments out there.
I'm a big girl. I can handle constructive feedback. Just don't be mean. There's enough meanness in the world. I can handle constructive feedback. Just don't be mean.
Listen, so we'll be back next week. I'm Alan Boomer.
I'm Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors.
Momentum.